Psalm 119. Psalm 119 this evening. We started the book of Psalms in October of 2007. Went back and looked at that. And so it's only taken us this long to get to Psalm 119. It'll take us that long to get through Psalm 119. Psalm chapter 119, we pick up tonight in verse number 9. We looked at verses 1 through 8 last Wednesday night. So tonight we're in verse number 9, and we'll read down through verse number 16. Psalm chapter 119, beginning in verse number 9, reading down through verse number 16. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight. Now, Father, we do thank you for the privilege that is ours to be able to gather in this place tonight. And we thank you, Father, for giving this place to us, for the freedom we have of being able to worship without any fear, God, without any trepidation. We can come together and sing praises to your Son's name. Father, we can worship you and declare our love for you openly. Father, we can open your precious word and read from it together, and we thank you for that. And we pray, God, your blessing upon it tonight. Father, speak to each and every heart in a way that only you can. And Lord, I confess that my words can only reach the ears of the hearer. But Father, your word, through the power of your Spirit, can go deeper and reach the heart. Father, your word is like a two-edged sword, and it's able to pierce down into our hearts and speak to us. So, God, we ask you to do that tonight, Father, maybe even in an unexpected way. Lord, sometimes we think we know what's coming, what we're going to hear, and we're prepared for it. Father, we need your Spirit to jolt us a little bit tonight, and Father, to show us ourselves and to encourage us by the wonderful grace of our God. Bless your word to each and every heart, Father. Give us something tonight that will empower us and help us as we try to live for you in the days, in the next few days to come. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we look again at Psalm chapter 119, it is the largest, the longest chapter in all the Bible. It is also located almost, not exactly, but almost at the center of our Bible. And its topic is in every verse of Psalm chapter 119. Notice the verses we read tonight in verse number 9. I've circled these in my Bible. You might want to underline or circle if you make note. But in verse 9, the last word, by taking here according to thy word. That's a reference, of course, to the Bible or the Word of God. Verse number 10, the last word, let me not wander from thy commandments. Every verse in this psalm, except for two, out of 176, every verse has a direct reference to the Word of God. Words, commandments, verse 11, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Verse 12, at the end, teach me thy statutes. Verse 13, near the end, all the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 14, thy testimonies, right in the middle of the verse. Verse 15, at the beginning, I will meditate in thy precepts, have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, I'll delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. 10 times in these 8 verses, references made to the Bible itself. Either by word or commandments, 7 different words are used in here, a couple of them used at different times, but commandments, statutes, words, the emphasis is placed upon the Word of God. So much for those that don't think we should put too much emphasis on the Bible. Look, if you would, keep your place there, but look at Psalm chapter 138. Psalm chapter 138. Sometimes we as Bible believers are accused of being Bible-olaters. In other words, people say, oh, they worship the Bible. We used to have our big church sign out here. It said Bible Baptist Church. It had a big open Bible on it. If you see the new sign down in Bysville, the backside facing the parking lot has a big open Bible. Turn to the book of Psalms. And somebody used that and said about our church one time, well, see that? They worship the Bible. Well, no, our name is Bible Baptist Church. So we had a picture of a Bible. Sometimes the church is called Calvary Baptist. They put a picture of the cross or something on it. But they were saying, oh, they worship the Bible down there. We don't worship the Bible, but we worship the God of the Bible. And the only way we know about that God is through the Bible itself. How am I going to know what is right or what's wrong? How am I going to know about God if it's not through this? If it's not through this, I'm subject to the opinions, the views, the different thoughts of mankind. But I have something that helps me to discern, something that helps me to try the spirits, something that helps me separate right from wrong, and that is the Bible. And you cannot overemphasize the Word of God. We don't lay it on an altar and bow down to it. We don't pray to it. You know, all that kind of stuff. Nobody does that stuff. But some people say, well, you make too much of the Bible. The Bible is showing us you can't make too much of it. Right in the center of our Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible, emphasizes in every verse the Word of God. Notice Psalm 138 and verse 2. David says here, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Notice, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That means that God literally holds his word above his name. Now you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, a man is no better than his word. And God is bound by his word and kept by his word. If we fulfill all the promises of God, God is bound by his word to bless us. If we violate the principles of his word, God is bound by his word to chastise us. Somebody says, well, could God send somebody to hell? He has to. If you reject his son, Jesus Christ, as Savior, according to the word of God, he's bound himself. Now, that's not like the Bible is stronger than God, but God has bound himself by his word. And everything we know about God, his character, his being, his likes and his dislikes, all come from the word of God. You cannot undervalue, you cannot overvalue the word of God. So back here in Psalm 119, as we look at these eight verses that are before us, the 176 verses in Psalm 119 are divided into 22 sections. Every one of those sections is named after a letter of the Jewish alphabet. We saw Aleph last week. This week you notice before, between verse 8 and 9, your Bible probably has the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the word Beth. And so it's divided into 22 sections. Our alphabet has 26 letters. Theirs had 22. Each one of these sections has eight verses. We saw that last week. Every one of them has eight verses. Every one of those eight verses is a separate sentence or statement in and of itself. You know, a lot of times we go to different places in the Bible and say, well, you can't take that verse out of context, and that's true. You can take a statement somewhere else in the Bible and pull it from its context and make it a pretext. And make it teach something it doesn't teach. But what I'm saying in Psalm 119 is every verse in itself is a separate statement. They all end with either a period, as we saw last week, a few of them with a question mark, one with an exclamation point, but most of them end with a period. They're all complete sentences in and of themselves. Every verse is a complete sentence that can be taken individually. The notable characteristic about this second of the 22 sections is it begins with a question. Notice in verse number 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a great question. And I'm thankful that the end of the verse gives us an equally great answer. Let's look at this section of this psalm here tonight. I want you to see, first of all, verse 9 through 12. We'll divide these eight verses into two sections. Verse 9 through 12 give us the virtue of the Word of God. The virtue, the pureness, the holiness, the cleansing power, the virtue of the Word. Verse number 9 teaches us this. We are prone to pollution. And God's Word alone can cleanse us. All right, you get that? We are prone to pollution. Notice what verse number 9 says. It is assuming something. It's taking something for granted. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. You know what that verse just assumed? It assumed that a young man is dirty. Because it said, how's he going to cleanse his way? It is putting all of mankind into one lump sum and saying, right from the start, right from the get-go, you're dirty. We know that in the Bible is the doctrine of original sin. Now you would be surprised how many people today, including Christians and theologians, debate the existence of original sin. They don't think you have a nature inherited from Adam and Eve in the garden. They don't think you have that. What they do with Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I don't know what they do with that verse, but they'll say there's no such thing as original sin. Folks, we're sinners by birth, because we're sinners by our nature. And the Bible is telling us that from the very beginning, a young man, we can always say woman because it's mankind, but a young man needs cleansing. Now, if all you had the Bible was the Bible to go on, that'd be enough right there. But let's say you say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean a young boy needs cleansing? What do you mean a young person needs cleansing? Well, go to a elementary school recess playground for just a few minutes and find out what the boys are over there talking about in the corner when they get away from everybody else. I don't think I have to tell you a whole lot. You know what's going on. They're young boys. They're going to do what young boys do. And their natural tendency is to kind of get away and talk about what they can do and what they can get away with and who they can pick on and all these. Not that I ever did anything like that, but I've heard that's the way it goes. And as they get older, will tell dirty stories to each other. And isn't that what we call them? Dirty stories? Why do we call them dirty stories? That's what they are. And that'll progress to dirty jokes. And filthy language, that's what we call it, filthy language. Dirty pictures. He said, what is that? That is the picture of all of mankind before they get clean. And the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How is he going to separate from that? How is he going to get that dirt off of him? How is he going to change his inclination? How is he going to make things different? The Bible says that our youthful impulses need to be brought into subjection. What is strong enough to cleanse that? We need a cleansing agent. We need a super powerful detergent that can cleanse that dirt of original sin. And you know what the Bible says in verse 9? How wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The only thing that can help that young person is the Word of God. Psychologists aren't going to do it. Psychiatrists aren't going to do it. Medical doctors, and I'm not talking about medical problems, but as far as a spiritual problem, are not going to take care of it. There's only one thing that can help young people battle against the dirt that picks up on them in this life, and that is the Word of God. You know what the greatest sin of America is? Many today are walking around yelling that America's greatest sin is homosexuality. And I preached about that just last Sunday night. And without a doubt, it is a troubling sin for our nation. Years ago, many people said the greatest sin of America's history was the sin of slavery. And surely that was a dark time in American history. But you know what really the greatest sin, I think, in our country's history has ever been? Is when we decided to take the Bible out of the public school system. Because we took from those young people the only thing that can really cleanse them from a dirty path. You know, I read a book just the last couple days. I came across statistics from 2005. And they said there is a 32% chance of a person between the ages of 5 and 13 getting saved. A 32% chance at that age of somebody getting saved. But when they hit 14 and go to 18, it's at its lowest period. And there's only a 4% chance of getting saved between the age of 14 and 18. And then after 18, goes all the way up from 4% to 6%. Now, we all know people that are in that 6% that got saved over 18. Thank God for that. We all know people that got saved in that 14 to 18 range and of only 4%, the lowest. And thank God for that, and I'm one of those. But you know what that statistic tells us? It just shows us something that the Bible really emphasizes, that the greatest need is for young people to come under the influence of the Word of God. That's why we run the bus. That's why we bring people in. That's why we have the children's programs and Sunday schools downstairs, because they have a 32% chance by statistics, and I know God can overthrow anything anytime. But the inclination of mankind's heart from its very youth, man's desire from youth, is for dirtiness. And only the Word of God is powerful enough to cleanse that. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about young men right now and their need for the Word of God to cleanse them from the pollution of this life. And I know who I'm talking to, and I know you know what we're talking about. This world is dirty. All you have to do is get up in the morning, put your shoes on, and go out the door and walk through this world for 8, 10, 12 hours, come back home tonight at night, and you've picked up dirt. And I don't mean the literal dirt from the ground. You've picked up the dirt of the world. Whether you tried to or not, you've been exposed to the music, the philosophy, the language, the conversation of what's out there. And imagine a young person, they need the Word of God to battle that in their life. And without it, they remain dirty. It's just like going days and days and days without getting a shower. You're going to stink. And if we go days and days and days without the Word of God spiritually, we're no better than that. We like to think it's different. But it's exactly that according to the Word of God. Notice Ephesians chapter 5. And the context here is a little different. The Lord is talking about presenting the church to Himself. But notice what He says about it in verse number 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Talking about the church, He said that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. You know, there's sometimes after a long, hard, dirty day, I like to just stand in that shower, let the water just run and run and run. Not really getting too cleansed, not scrubbing too much, not doing much. It just feels good to have that water hit. You know, there are days, at the end of the day, you sit down on the couch and you open that Bible or your chair and open that Bible in your lap after a long day and you start reading it, and it's just like that water hitting your shoulders, running down your back. You don't know what it is. You're really not being scrubbed, but something just feels refreshing because there's cleansing power in that Word. Imagine if you spend an hour reading your Bible instead of watching fill in the blank. Whatever it is, you sit down in front of the television and watch. Imagine if you took that half hour or that hour of sitting in the chair and reading your Bible. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be putting in all the clean stuff and keeping out the dirty stuff. Keeping out the dirty stuff. Not just that you're just taking in clean stuff, but you're avoiding some of the dirt at the same time. And that's the power of the Word. Notice John chapter 15. The Gospel of John chapter 15. We need to move along quickly. John chapter 15 and verse number 3. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 15 and verse 3. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. You want to get clean? There's the cleansing of the washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God, the Bible, will cleanse you. It'll remove that dirt that you pick up in this life and in this world. It'll help you think differently. It'll help you think clean. It'll put good thoughts in your mind. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We are prone to pollution, and God's word can cleanse us. But then notice verse number 10. Talking about the virtue of the Word of God. Not only can it clean us, but verse 10, it can control us. It keeps us from wandering. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. The young man in verse number 9 has taken heed to stay clean, but now he needs to stay in that right way in verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Not only are we prone to pollution in verse 9, but in verse 10, we are prone to wander. And God's Word controls us. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It gives us our direction. The Word of God controls it. It keeps us from going to the right hand or to the left. When you're filled with the Word of God, the temptations of the devil aren't as powerful as when you're not filled with the Word of God. When the Bible is on your mind and the Bible is in your heart, then the devil has a harder time cracking through to get us to yield to temptation. When we don't have the Word of God in, we're susceptible to his attacks. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, when being tempted on that mountain, when the devil tempted him, he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." The Word of God is what's able to fight the battle for us. The songwriter wrote the words, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know what everyone in this room ought to fear? Everybody here, by your testimony, as far as I know, you say, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. You'll never lose that. Don't worry about that. But you know what you can lose? You're here on a Wednesday night. That's the cream of the crop. Some folks go to church Sunday mornings only. Some will come back Sunday night. You really get to Wednesday night, and it's people that mean business and really are trying to do right and live right. But you know what? You have no guarantee that 6 months from now, you'll still be in church on a Wednesday night. There are people 6 months or a year ago that used to be here that don't come any longer. He said, what's the problem? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. The natural inclination of this old flesh is to get away from the Word of God. Your flesh wants to do things, and every time you get in church and every time you read the Bible, it takes a battering. It gets beaten up. So sometimes we go out of church and we just don't feel too happy. Because the preacher or the Word of God beat up our sins and beat up our flesh, and it doesn't enjoy that. Bob Jones Sr. said, preacher isn't any good unless he makes me mad. And what he meant by that is he said he wants to hear some preaching that's going to contradict the desires of his flesh and make the natural man angry. And that's what the Word of God does. And sometimes we just say, that's enough of that. I'm going to yield to the flesh. And we wander away from the provision and the promises and the blessings of an eternal God. And it only hinders and hurts us. So what can prevent us from wandering? Verse number 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. We are prone to wander. God's word can control us. I challenge you. I beg you, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. You know what we teach the kids? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink. Boy, what an amazing truth for kids. And it's just that way. You neglect the Word of God. The saying is, this book will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from this book. And the reason I challenge you to read your Bible every day, I don't care what your marking is. You say, three chapters every day, that's great. One chapter every day, I don't care. But just challenge yourself to read something every single day, because then when you make that challenge, you'll know when you've gone a few days and missed it, and you'll know why you're struggling the way you're struggling. Why you're having the battles the way you have the battles. Hey, I'm the preacher. Supposed to live on this spiritual level, right? You know, infallibility or whatever we think. You know that's nonsense. And you know what I know? I know if I go a day without reading the Bible, I know it. I notice it. I feel it. You're not going to know it. I can go one day without eating. You won't see that I've lost any weight, but I'll know I've gone a day without eating. I guarantee you. I go a day without the Bible, you won't notice it, because there's enough there to sustain. But I go too many days, and it'll begin to show outwardly too. But the minute I miss it for one day, it begins to show inwardly. Why? Because it's God's Word that controls us. It keeps us from wandering. We are prone to pollution, and God's Word cleanses us. We are prone to wander. God's Word controls us. Verse number 11 and 12. We are prone to sin, and God's Word corrects us. Verse 11, thy word, you know this verse, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If you read your Bible during the day, then when sin shows its face, you'll recognize it for what it is. If you read your Bible every day, now I guarantee if you're starting out fresh and not been doing it, the first couple of days, you're not going to notice a big change, but you do it for a week, you do it for a month, you do it for 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, you'll notice the change in your own personal life. Because the Word of God cannot enter somewhere without making a difference. And in the area of sin, it corrects us. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what reading that Bible will do? It'll make it harder for you to sin. It won't eliminate sin. It won't erase sin. You'll not have that till you meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. When you see the living Word, then your sins will be taken care of and complete. But until that time, the more the Bible comes in you, the easier it is to battle and fight the sins that so easily beset us. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I'm glad it didn't say, have I hid in my memory. You know why? I'd tell you why, but I forgot. I'm glad it's not I hid it in my memory. Glad it's not I hid it in my locker. I hid it in, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart. And we know the heart is a literal organ, and it's not talking about hiding, tucking it away in that somehow. But that's the that is the illustration of the center of our emotions, the center of our affection. And if we put the Bible there, if we put the Word of God center in our life, everything else outside that realm will have a harder time getting in. But when the Bible's not at the seat of our emotion, that wickedness around us gets in awful fast and awful easy. We are prone to sin, and God's Word corrects us. The virtue of the Word of God in verse 9 to 12. Then secondly, the value of the Word in verse 13 to 16. The value of the Word. This is almost redundant. It's almost the same thing. The virtue of it, it cleanses. The virtue of it, it corrects. The virtue of it, it controls us. But then there's the value of the Word of God. And notice the psalmist, and I believe it's David, says in verse 13, 14, talks about the value it has been in the past. The value the Word of God has been in the past. Notice verse 13 and verse 14 always say, verse 13 and 14 say, I have, past tense. Notice verse 13, with my lips have I declared. Verse 14, I have rejoiced. Then 15 and 16, I will. There's a distinction in these four verses. The first two say, I have done this. The next two say, I will do this. So when talking about the value of the Word, there's the value it has been in the past. Notice verse 13. David says, I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. You know, the best thing you can do is when you meet somebody new, tell them you're a Christian. Tell them you're saved. That'll eliminate a lot of the other stuff right off the bat. You won't have to be embarrassed by their conversation or what they talk about after that. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to change their conversation, but at least you'll have already planted yourself where you are by your declaration, and then when they go with that and say, I don't want to hear it, they'll know why you say that. David said in verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. David was a vocal witness of the Word of God. He was a vocal testimony. People say, well, if I don't cuss and swear, people are going to know I'm a Christian. No, they might think you're a Mormon because they don't cuss and swear. They might think you're a Jehovah's Witness. They don't cuss and swear. The only way they're going to know you're a Christian if you say, I am a Christian. And so David said, I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. You know what? You know what that does? It requires diligence. I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. You know, to do that, you've got to have diligence because you've got to learn the Bible. You've got to learn the Bible. Every individual believer is responsible to learn the Word of God. I don't mean just know that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he's born in Bethlehem, that he was crucified on Calvary, that he's coming. I mean to learn the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We are to give diligence to the Word of God and know what it says. So we might have, as the Bible says, an answer for every man that asketh the hope that lieth in us. Say, preacher, I don't know the Bible. Start learning it. Do whatever it takes to learn it. Be in church every service. That'll help you in the first place. Read your Bible every day. That'll help you in the second place. As you're reading it, as you're going through casually reading it, and I encourage you to do that, when you're doing your Bible reading, do it casually. Don't do it if you're reading three chapters a day, 10 pages a day, whatever you're doing. When you're reading, read through it. If something stops you or arrests your attention, underline it, write it down, come back to it later. But if you stop on it right then, you'll never get through what you're supposed to be reading. And then you'll say, oh man, I've fallen behind it. So just read through it. But then take time to study things. You say, oh, that's a preacher's duty. No, that's every believer's duty. To study and research and read the Word of God. David said in verse 13, with my lips have I declared, I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. It requires diligence And it requires daring. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. In this world we live in, if you're going to be faithful vocally to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be in a minority. You stand up for creation against evolution, you're in the minority. You stand up for salvation by grace through faith through the shed blood of Jesus Christ only, you're in a minority. You tell them you believe that hell is a literal fire, you're going to be in a minority. Whatever it is you declare from the Word of God, if you are faithful to what it teaches, you're going to have to have some daring and be willing to stand on your own, because most of the time that's where you're going to be. But David said, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. We need more of that. We need more vocal Christians. Have you ever had this happen to you? You worked with somebody, went to school with somebody, knew somebody for an extended period of time, and then after it's all over, you found out that person was a Christian? I've had that happen several times in my life. Somebody said, hey, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I worked with them or went to school. Did you know they were a Christian? Not then. May that never be said of us, that anybody could know us for any period of time and talk to us for any period of time and then be astounded or surprised. To get up there to the judgment seat of Christ, or get up to heaven at the great white throne judgment and look and see you there on the safe side, and them say, what are you doing over there? I didn't know you were a Christian. I didn't know you were saved. God forbid that should happen. David said, I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 14. The value it has been to David in the past. Not only he's declared, but he said in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all riches. If you were, you couldn't, because you wouldn't, to win the lottery and find out you've been the sole ticket holder of the $1 million jack prize, green ball, whatever the thing is. I don't see this often, but I'm just imagining that the person that wins the whatever those things are called, when they win it and they find out they just got $1 million, I don't think they say, huh, isn't that great? Whoopee. I bet they go nuts. I bet they look like that guy that gets called out of the crowd on The Price is Right. They just act insane, jumping up and down and getting all giddy and happy and go crazy. They get excited. They get excited about that. You know what David said? More or as much as in all riches, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony. Folks, you've got something that's more valuable than any lottery, than any grand prize, than anything on The Price is Right or anything. You've got something more valuable than that. And what in the world do we do with it? Do we let it sit and collect dust? Do we talk about how we believe the Bible, but we don't read the Bible? It cleanses us. It corrects us. It changes us. And David said, I have rejoiced in it as much as in all riches. The value of what the Word had been to David. Therefore, he says in verse 15, the value it is going to be. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. David says, on the basis of what God's Word has done for him in the past, here's what he's going to do in the future. The Word of God, Christian, has made you what you are right now. It can make you 10 times more than that in the future. But the Bible says, I will meditate in thy precepts. You know, meditation, biblical meditation, not sitting on a carpet in some strange, awkward position that gives you leg cramps and chanting some strange thing. Biblical meditation is simply having the Word of God in your heart that as you go through your day, it keeps coming up fresh in your mind. That your life in Christ, you'll be driving down the road and you'll remember something the preacher said in his sermon. Or you'll remember something you read in your devotions that morning. Or something some other believer said in fellowship to you the other day. It'll all come up. That's what happens when we meditate on the Word. But you know what we do? We look for problems. We're battling sin in this life. And we focus on the sin instead of focusing and meditating on the Word of God. To illustrate this, years ago when we were over in the Pacific Islands in Micronesia, we would take a boat and we would go into one of the islands or inlets, and it's all coral reef in there, and you got to find the channel. And all these coral reef pieces are sticking up, and they can do great damage to a boat. And I learned what was happening as we would fight our way through the channel and try to stay off of the pieces of coral. I found out what I was doing. I was looking, as I'm a rider, a passenger in this small boat, I would look at me and say, oh, there's a big piece of coral there. Watch out for it. Oh, there's a big one over there. Look out. I was looking for the problems. But you know what I found out that the captain of that boat was doing? He wasn't looking at the pieces of coral. He was looking at the deep channel in the reef. He was looking at the clear, clean water. He wasn't worried about the pieces of rock. He knew if he stayed where the deep water was, he didn't have to worry about that. Folks, that's the way sin is. Too many times we're focusing on sin. We focus on our temptations, and boy, they seem powerful. Whereas if we would meditate, focus on the Word of God, and keep our eyes set there, we wouldn't notice as much the piece of coral over here, and the danger over there, and the trial that's over here, if we would meditate in His precepts and have respect to His ways. The value will be in the future. I will meditate. Notice he says in verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. That which the world lightly esteems, that which the world casts aside and casts down, the Word of God, is the very thing that David said, I will delight myself in it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the things of God. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know where David started this section of 8 verses? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Through the middle, the Word of God controlled him and cleansed him and kept him. And it became his delight and his meditation. And it ends with him saying, I will not forget thy word. Have you made a commitment to Jesus Christ? By that, I don't mean did you trust him as your Savior. But have you said to the Lord, Lord, I'm in this thing to the end. I'm through this thing all the way. I'm not going to be a flash in the pan. I'm not going to be the sprinter that starts out good and then dies halfway around the track. I'm going to finish this thing and get all the way to the end of it till death takes me or the Lord comes back to receive me up to himself. I'm in this for the long haul. You know, the only way you're going to be able to do that is by staying in the Word of God. Is by taking heed thereto according to thy word and not forgetting the Bible. Can I challenge you tonight? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Let's stand together this evening. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.